Avanajari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vararari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vararari. Sodanandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Nitya Lila Vishnu, Mr. Paras, Divine Grace Lacey, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananda Guri Vaishnavinda ki, Jai Sri Rup Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev, Gopalava, Das Raghunath, Sad Goswami Prabhu ki, Nama Acharya, Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sikho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari, Gaur Bhaktani ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopagopiko, Shama Kun, Radha Kun, Giri Govardhan ki, Brajabhumi Vrindavan Dham ki, Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Bolo Sri Sri Krishna Baldao ki, Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to the Assembly of Buddhists. All glories to the Assembly of Buddhists. All glories to the Assembly of Buddhists. All glories, Sri Guru and glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
So it's a great pleasure to be here at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. The little Radha Krishna deities were the first Radha Krishna deities I ever worshipped. I joined in Boulder, but then I was sent here to get trained up. That time we didn't have the big deities, we just had the little deities. And Rukmini was the pujari. We were over on La Cienega Boulevard.
Then we moved over here. Then we got the big deities. So it's very ecstatic to be here with, at their lotus feet and be with all of wonderful devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, text number, starting with text number 24. Tato Hasan Sabhagavan Asurai Nirapatrapai Anviyamanas Tarasa Krudo Bita Parapatat. Hope I have my glasses with me. Janramitra Jara Vyadi. Oh, I left them at home. Yeah, I think they have them here. Let's see. Here they are. I found it. Time is moving on. Tato Hasansa Bhagavan Asurair Nirapatrapai Anviyamanas Tarasa Krudo Bita Parapatat Tato Hasansa Bhagavan Asurair Nirapatrapai Anviyamanas Tarasa Krudo Bita Parapatat Tato Hasansa Bhagavan Asurair Nirapatrapai Anviyamanas Tarasa Krudo Bita Parapatat. Para? Tarasa.
Oh, it's Tarasa. It's
Tarasa. Oh, somebody's written it.
Tato Hasansa Bhagavan.
Tato Hasansa Bhagavan.
Asurair Nirapatrapai.
Asurair Nirapatrapai.
Anviyamanas Tarasa.
Anviyamanas Tarasa.
Krudo Bita Parapatat.
Krudo Bita Parapatat.
Tato Hasansa Bhagavan.
Matajis?
Tato Hasansa Bhagavan.
Tataha, then, Hasan, laughing, sa Bhagavan, the worshipable Lord Brahma, Asurai, by the demons, Nirapatrapai, shameless, Ambiyamana, being followed, Tarasa, in great haste, Krudaha, angry, Bittaha, being afraid, Parapatat, ran away. Translation: the worshipful Brahma first laughed at their stupidity, but finding the shameless Asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. Translation, please repeat. The worshipful Brahma first laughed at their stupidity, but finding the shameless Asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sexually inclined demons have no respect even for their father, and the best policy for a saintly father like Brahma is to leave such demoniac sons. So just a little purport, so we'll go to the next verse. Sa upa vrajya varadam prapanarti haram harim anugrahaya bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam. Translation: he approached the personality of Godhead, who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. Translation, please repeat. He approached the personality of Godhead, who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hear the words, Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam, mean that the personality of Godhead manifests His multifarious forms, His multiforms, according to the desires of the devotees. For example, Hanumanji, Vajrangaji, wanted to see the form of the Lord as the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, whereas other Vaishnavas want to see the form of Radha Krishna, and still other devotees want to see the Lord in the form of Lakshmi Narayan. The Mayavadi philosophers think that although these forms are assumed by the Lord just as the devotees desire to see Him, actually, He is impersonal. From Brahma Samhita, however, we can understand that this is not so, for the Lord has multiforms. It is said in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achutam, the Lord does not appear before the devotee because of the devotee's imagination. Brahma Samhita further explains that the Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murtishu Kalaniyamani Na Tishtan. He exists in millions of forms. There are 8,400,000 species of living entities, but the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are innumerable. In the Bhagavatam it is stated that as the waves in the sea cannot be counted, but appear and disappear continually, the incarnation and forms of the Lord are innumerable. A devotee is attached to a particular form, and is that form which he worships. We have just described the first appearance of the boar within this universe. There are innumerable universes, and somewhere or other, the boar form is now existing. All the forms of the Lord are eternal. It is a devotee's inclination to worship a particular form, and he engages in devotional service to that form. In a verse in the Ramayana, Hanuman, the great devotee of Rama, said,
I know that there are no difference between Sitaram and Lakshmi Narayan, forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But nevertheless, the form of Ram and Sita has absorbed my affection and love. Therefore, I want to see the Lord in the form of Ram and Sita. Similarly, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas love the forms of Radha and Krishna and Rukmini at Dwarka. The words Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam mean that the Lord is always pleased to favor the devotee in the particular form in which the devotee wants to worship and render service unto him. In this verse it is stated that Brahma approached Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This form of the Lord is Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Whenever there is some trouble and Brahma has to approach the Lord, he can approach Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And it is the grace of the Lord that whenever Brahma approaches about disturbances in the universe, the Lord gives him relief in so many ways. Tato asansa bhagavan asurair nirapatrapai andiyamanas tarasa krudo bita parapatat sa upavrajya varadam prapanarti haram harim anugrahaya bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam. The worshipful Brahma first laughed at their stupidity, but finding the shameless asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. He approached the Personality of Godhead who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananangyana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Aradhanastrinandantai Vridam Yachai Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in this verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma has created the demons, and they immediately, as Prabhupada points out here, no respect even for father. They were approaching even their father for enjoying sex life. This is the demoniac principle. So Brahma, first he laughed at their stupidity, but then he realized these guys are serious. And he began to run away in fear. See here, very beautiful words are used here. Varadam. Var means benediction. Varada means one who gives benediction. So Lord is known as Varada, who gives benediction. And what is that? Prapannarti haram harim. Arti here, Prabhupada, translates agony. Those who are anxious to get relief from their agony, because this material existence is full of anxiety, full of agony, actually. It is just an ocean of distress. So he's prapanarti haram, those who want to get free. Hari, he's the one who takes away. Hari means who steals, who takes away all of our distress. And baradam, then he gives us wonderful benedictions. To whom, then Prabhupada translates here, those who take shelter of his lotus feet. Prapanna means to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So for those who take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then they're relieved from the agony of material existence. Just like we have so much, we're getting practical experience. We've come here all of a sudden because our mother has expired. So we are seeing the misery of material existence. We're there with all our brothers and sisters, and all of them were in very great distress. So this is one of the miseries of material existence, death. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Krishna has certified dukkhalayam ashashvatam. He's certified this material world, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It is temporary, it is full of miseries, specifically those miseries, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Like janma, we don't remember. But we read in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, it was very miserable. Everyone else was very happy. And our so-called American anti-culture, they run around passing out horrible things called cigars to everybody. Of course, in India, we like to distribute lots of sweets. But if we interview the little child, what he thought about the whole thing, he only has one very clear opinion. The first thing, this is the sign. We should open our eyes and see. This is a sign. This material world is meant for crying, agony. First thing you do is when you enter this world is cry. Janma mrityu, death. The all-devouring death is there at every step. Our Yudhisthira, he was asked by the Yaksha, what is the most wonderful thing? Meaning something to think about, wonder about. And he said, everybody is seeing that his father has died, his grandfather's died, his uncle's died, everybody's dying, but those who remain, Shesham, those who remain, they're all living their life as if there's no such thing as death. This is the most amazing thing, but death is there at every step. And people are so much afraid. We were coming here on the airplane, so we were flying Malaysian Airlines, so we were coming to the Southeast Asia, you know. So at least 30%, everybody, it's like a sci-fi movie or something. Everybody's got this mask on, you know. 30% of the travelers had masks on their face. Everybody's afraid they're going to get this disease and die. I think more people die every day on the highways. But they're so much afraid of this. They go out of their way like anything to avoid death. The janma mrityu jara, this old age, is another wonderful misery. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi, and disease. Actually, in Hindi, we call this body the disease temple. This is the the disease temple, disease mandir. It is simply full of diseases. Roga mandir, full of disease. So this is agonizing place, and full of so many. If all these miseries weren't bad enough, then it's filled with so many miserable people who are just trying to make our lives miserable. They say misery loves cause. Everyone's miserable. They're trying to make our life miserable. It's like here, Brahma created these guys. Now they want to make his life miserable. So he's running to the Lord to take shelter. Prapanna. He's come to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord to get free from his anxiety. There's so many people here just to make us miserable. Even if you want to live peacefully, someone will become envious of why he's peaceful. They become envious. They see us on the street. Why you guys are so happy? I see you in
in L.A., I see you in New York, I see you in Tokyo, I see you everywhere. You guys are always smiling. I can't stand it. They become envious of why these people are so happy all the time. So even if you just try to be peaceful and lead, you know, we would just like to be very peaceful and lead a happy life, but still people are there just trying to make life miserable for us. Very miserable place. So, to bless us, Bharadam, he's giving benediction. The Lord appears in so many wonderful forms. Here, what does it say? Anugrahaya, out of his kindness, for showing mercy. Anugrahaya, bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Anurupatma darshanam. He appears in that form according to the desire of his devotee. This is the great mercy of the Lord. Here Prabhupada gives the example of our Hanuman. Although we are more anxious to see the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan, we have so beautiful deities of Radha and Shyamasundara. Always festival time, big crowd is there in front of the little table where they sell the deity pictures. Everyone's anxious to get beautiful pictures of Radha and Krishna. This is our desire. Hanuman, although he appreciates that Radha and Krishna, they're very beautiful, but somehow his heart is stolen by Sita and Ram. His heart is stolen by them. He wants to see the Lord in that way. In South India, you will go, you will see everyone is very anxious to worship the forms of Lakshmi, Narayan. So Lord, out of his kindness, he appears in all these different forms. Just to satisfy, what is Prabhupada saying? For the satisfaction of his devotees. This is the... Our Lord is so merciful. He's always trying to satisfy his devotees. Give them protection from the agony of this material life. And appear in a form that is dear to their hearts. By seeing that form of the Lord, then immediately we get great relief. Just like it's so miserable to fly on the plane, you never see a Vaishnava. You see so many people, but you never see any. Very rarely. One time I was very fortunate, because I was flying from Delhi to Bhubaneswar. It was Rath Yatra time, and I looked up, and there was Navyugendra Swami and a few devotees from Mauritius. It's the only time on a flight, except in the old days when we used to rent a whole plane practically and fly to India for the Mayapur festival. We never get to see. You have hours and hours to come here. It was almost 24 hours. Actually, I left before I got here. We left at noon. No, we left at midnight and we got here at noon in the same day. But the hours and hours you never see a Vaishnava. And it's so miserable without seeing the devotees or seeing the form of the Lord. So the Lord is so merciful that he appears before us in this deity form according to the desire of the devotee. He has manifested these different forms. It's like here we worship the very beautiful forms of Rukmini and Dwarkadish. They're also so... I always remember them because these were the first deities, the first of the little deities and the big deities. I remember we were in Santa Barbara. We came down and... Because we were just in a tiny, Santa Barbara was a tiny little temple. Just four or five devotees were there. So we decided we would come to L.A. for Jamashtami. So we came down, and that time we were still in the old temple room over here. And very recently the big deities had been installed. And we were worshipping them, dressing them in so many wonderful ways. And somehow they had gotten these effulgences. We'd never seen effulgences before. In old days, we didn't have all these fancy things like we have now. I just remember when those doors opened, I just went... It was like we saw Sakshat Radha and Krishna were standing there in front of us. We were just totally astounded. We saw these beautiful little flaming effulgences around the heads of Radha and Krishna, and beautiful dress and beautiful... Everything was so beautiful. We're just totally
shocked. We were just, it was like we were seeing directly the Supreme, and we are seeing directly the Supreme Personality of God. We're just so dull-headed, we're unable to appreciate the Lord's kindness upon us, that He appears in this deity form. But it is not, as Prabhupada points out, that Mayavadis think that these forms are just temporary. But all of the Lord's forms are eternal. Huh? They have nothing to do with this material world. Prabhupada quotes, Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam. Advaitam achyutam. Advaitam, they're all non-different. And achyuta, it is not that the Lord's form is just like some material form. Achyuta, it is beyond our conception. It is beyond our understanding. It is achyuta, it's infallible. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam parana purusham navyovanam. He's inconceivable. Here it is said, he's parana purusham. That he's the oldest person in existence. Adyam parana purusham but navyovanam cha. He's always just like a fresh youth. He's the oldest person, but he's always fresh youth. Because this is natural, because everyone we see, everyone is worshipping youth. One of the biggest industries in the material world is the cosmetic industry. Everybody wants to hide all those wrinkles and different little defects that begin to appear with old age. Everyone's trying, struggling in so many ways, trying to keep their figure, trying to keep their wrinkles away. We just had a wonderful festival in Bombay for the 25th anniversary. I saw many devotees. I mean, even just like Prabhuji explained, I joined in 1969, so there's not many, I don't have many older godbrothers and sisters, but even my older godbrothers and sisters, I used to go downtown and chant in front of, what was it, Buffums or Bullocks or somewhere downtown LA. We used to go and chant, and then we go down to Sunset Boulevard or sometimes Hollywood Boulevard. We like to especially chant in front of Diamond Gyms. So all these old devotees who I haven't seen for so long, they were there. And some of the girls, I was wondering, now my hair has become filled with so much gray, and I was seeing these girls, they haven't changed. How is they haven't aged, you know? Luckily, the festival went on for about a week. After a week, I saw in the little part, you know. So this industry is there. Just we want to avoid old age because we worship youth. So it's natural that God will be a youth. Generally, we see in other religions, they try to paint God since he's old. Therefore, he's an old man with a big, long beard. But who wants to be an old man with a big, long beard? We all want to be young. We all worship youth. So it's natural that God will be his navyovanam cha. He'll be the oldest person, but he will be young. He will be fresh youth playing upon his flute. Prabhupada said one German scholar, because somehow Germans, despite everything else, they like to study Sanskrit. So one was very interested. He came to India and he saw so many different temples and so many different gods and goddesses. And he came to the conclusion that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord. He said everybody else is doing something. You know, Durga is there with her trishul like that. Somebody's doing this, somebody's holding that. Everybody's doing something. But this fellow, he's just playing in the flute. He has nothing to do. He must be God. Because we can't imagine God having any work to do. Prabhupada said, you will never see a picture of Krishna, you know, running to catch the bus, you know, with his briefcase in his hand. He has nothing to do. He's a young boy in Vrindavan. It's like, it's a very wonderful story. Hardly anybody knows this story because very few people only. Two or three devotees are around who were there. But my first temple president was Harinama, who I think is maybe in Berkeley somewhere. He was my first temple president there in Boulder, Colorado. So he was originally in Santa Fe, and he was always writing so many letters to Prabhupada, the police come visit us. And because that time it was, you know, there was temples in the East Coast, there was temples in the West Coast, and this was... It's also west, but it's, you know, a little inwards. So he was, you know, it was only a couple of devotees. Tosan Krishna was there. I don't believe he was even initiated. And there was another wonderful devotee named Hari Vasar. And anyway, just a couple of devotees were there, Prabhavati. So Prabhupada wrote that, all right, he would come and visit. So those days, it's not like now, we just fly all over the world and we don't even think about it. But those days it was, you know, we were very on a very tight budget. So Govindadas, he was Prabhupada's servant. And so Prabhupada wanted to go from New York to Toronto, I believe. They'd just gotten, is it Toronto where they had a bowling alley originally as a temple? Montreal. He was going to Montreal, all right. To Montreal where the bowling alley was, that they changed the bowling alley into a temple. So then on to L.A. So they couldn't afford to pay Govindadasi's ticket up to Montreal and on to L.A., so they just sent her straight. And since Santa Fe was on the way, they just had her stop there, and she would meet Prabhupada there in Santa Fe and then come to L.A. with Prabhupada. So Govindadasi came, and this is shortly after Prabhupada had whatever sickness or heart attack or whatever it was there in New York. So she got there to Santa Fe, and Harinama had been bit by a black widow. And his leg was all swollen up. He had fever. He was completely delirious, or halfway delirious. So Govindadasi got there, and she went into town. And Santa Fe, you have to understand, is, you know, it's about a mile high. It's a mile high above sea level. So all the doctors told her that the people with heart conditions, this is a very bad place for them, you know, because you're mile high, the air is less. You breathe like, you know, much faster. Your heart begins to beat. Just like we met in the festival just now, one devotee from La Paz in Bolivia, which is, I believe it's, 15,000 feet high. I think it's the highest major city in the world. And there, you know, Mangalartik is Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka Tranayaka. So anyway, so she consulted with all the doctors. She came back. She says, Harinama, we can't have Prabhupada come here. This altitude is not good for people with heart conditions. You know, so Harinama was halfway delirious, so he'd listen to her. So actually, the airport wasn't in Santa Fe. It was Albuquerque. They didn't have an airport in Santa Fe. So they decided, no, Prabhupada should just go straight on to L.A. So they had a little Volkswagen Bug, and they drove up to the Albuquerque airport, and they got there. And Prabhupada got off the plane, and so, you know, then he came through, and Harinam, he paid his obeisance, but his leg was stiff, so his leg was sticking in a funny way. So Prabhupada looked and he said, "What is wrong with your leg?" He said, "Oh, nothing, Swamiji." That's how they call me Swamiji. "No, nothing, Swamiji, but you must immediately get on the next flight to L.A. And Prabhupada said, "What is this? You wrote me so many letters that I should come here and visit. As soon as I come, you tell me to go away." But Swamiji, Govindadasi says this, that the doctors say this altitude is not good for people with heart condition. Prabhupada said, "Oh, you think that I'm an old man?" So now they were really flustered, you know. They had insulted Prabhupada by calling him, you know, feeling that he was an old man, you know. So then Govindadasi was totally flustered. He said, "Well, Swamiji, what should we do?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, what do you think we should do?" "I don't know, Swamiji, what do you think we should do?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, what do you think we should do?" And Govindadasi said, "But Swamiji, you're the pure devotee. What do you think we should do?" "Prabhupada, that is not important." "What do you think we should do?" Prabhupada was so humble. He said, "That is not important. What do you think we should do?" So then they consulted and they realized that they had blown it. And they, you know, so they had invited Prabhupada to come. Now he came and they're telling him to go away. And, you know. So they decided, all right, he'll come back to the temple. So they got in this little Volkswagen Bug, and then Harinama, he had so many questions he was going to ask. He was just thinking the whole way as they were driving up to Albuquerque, when Prabhupada comes, you know, then I'll be able to ask him this question, I'll be able to ask that question, and I have this doubt, and I have that question. And now here he is, sitting in this little tiny Volkswagen Bug, Prabhupada sitting right next to him, and all his questions seem foolish. There was nothing to ask. When Prabhupada was there was no doubt about anything. It was obvious. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our business is to serve him. There was no question. So he couldn't think of any question. And he just felt foolish, you know, sitting there. All these questions I had were just foolish, you know. So He said, I must say something. He said, oh, Swamiji, it's so nice to have your association. And Prabhupada smiled and he said, yes, and it is so nice to have your association. Prabhupada was so kind to his devotees. You know, we were just Kali Yuga rejects, but somehow Prabhupada said, it is so nice to have your association. And he would drive a little longer and he said, oh, Swamiji, it's so nice to have your association. Yes, and it is so nice to have your association. And of course, that part of the world, New Mexico, is famous for its sunsets, but Harinama said Krishna must have been putting on a very special display for his pure devotee. He said he never saw such colors, he never saw such a wonderful sunset like that as they were driving back to the temple. Now, everybody in the temple knew Prabhupada wasn't coming, so obviously nobody had bothered to fix up the temple or clean or do anything. Everybody knew Prabhupada wasn't coming. So then all of a sudden Prabhupada got back and everybody looked and they were just, you know, completely flabbergasted. There was Prabhupada. And Prabhupada walked in and they had Jagannath deities, but later those deities came to Boulder. And so I don't know what the reason was, but there was a big Lord Jagannath and there was a big Lord Balaram and there was a little tiny Subhadra like this. Somehow there was no Subhadra. These deities, later from Santa Fe, they came to Boulder when I joined. So in the beginning, we were like that. Then somebody carved a nice big Subhadra for us. So Prabhupada came in, he paid his obeisance to the deities, and then immediately he began to inspect the whole place. And of course, nobody had cleaned, so everything was a big mess. He walked into the Brahmachari Ashram, which, you know, maybe we've matured, I don't know. I haven't been in the Brahmachari Ashram here those days. Prabhupada walked in everywhere. But there was Swamiji, we didn't even, you know, he probably didn't even listen. He just went, he looked into the bathroom, he looked in the next room, he looked in the kitchen. Everybody was just running around like a little bunch of little chickens, you know, following the mother hen. You know, they were trying to give excuses, but Prabhupada wasn't listening. He was just seeing everything. So then he came back in the temple room and he sat down. And he pulled out his little bag and he pulled out this little piece of this plastic bag and he opened it up. And there was some sort of brown substance there. Of course, in the flight, it had melted and merged. They originally had been little round balls, but it sort of flattened out and become flat and brown. And this is old days. Nobody knew, had any idea where the basin laddu was. This was, you know. And Prabhupada was sitting there on a big cushion. All the devotees were sitting around him. And so Harinama said, looked like just, they had a big cushion for Prabhupada. So he was sitting up. He was like a little cowherd boy with all the little cowherd boys sitting around him. And he opened up and he began to pass out. You know, Prabhupada had told him to offer some fruit. So they had these fruit. And they gave some to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took some. And then he was passing out. And then he began to pass out these little flattened, you know, laddus. So Harinama was eating and he thought, what is this? Peanut butter or something? He had no idea what it was. So there was one young hippie boy who happened to be there at the time. And so Prabhupada was sitting there passing out fruit to all the devotees, passing out laddus to all the devotees. And this young hippie boy was there and he leaned over and he said, Swamiji, who is Krishna? And Prabhupada, just as matter-of-factly as, you know, everybody knows, he said, Krishna, he is a little cowherd boy playing in Vrindavan who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a little cowherd boy playing in Vrindavan who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If I would just answer like that, it would be just so amazing. So this is Krishna. He's just a little cowherd boy playing in Vrindavan. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Navayovana, he's a fresh youth, just a little cowherd boy playing. He has nothing to do. Therefore, a German scholar saw him, Krishna, with his flute. He said, this guy has nothing to do. He must be God. This must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna appears in these wonderful forms that are eternal. Just like Prabhupada was giving example of Lord Braha. He mentions Lord Braha here. I remember in the old days, there was a very wonderful, the head puja. I remember Rukmini, because she used to wake up every morning in the old LA temple on Lasi Ganega, and every morning you'd hear her say, another wonderful day for Krishna consciousness. You know, she'd wake up at the first thing in the morning, you could hear her come into the temple room. He says, another wonderful day for Krishna consciousness. But head pujari was Shilavati, who was so devoted to the deities. I don't know if you remember. Does anyone here remember Shilavati? I don't know where she is anymore, but she was so devoted to the deities. Somebody remember Shilavati, yes.
You see her in that old Hare Krishna people film. She's singing and sewing, you know. La 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 la. You know, she's sewing. She was so devoted to the Didi. She used to get realizations. Prabhupada told her, yes, you keep them to yourself. He said, these are actual Krishna's giving you inspiration from the heart. But one night, she had a dream and she came running. She was practically in tears. She came to Prabhupada and she said, I had a dream about you, Srila Prabhupada. He said, you gave me my personal Didi to worship. And it was a deity of Lord Baraha. She was so upset. She was very attached to Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada, in this dream, gave her a deity of Lord. Of course, Lord Baraha is also transcendental of it somehow or other. As Prabhupada said, all the devotees have their particular tastes, and we're very much attached to worshipping Radha and Krishna. So all the devotees have their forms. The Lord appears in those forms. Baradam, Barada, he's giving benediction to all. He's taken away the agony of those who, prapanna, who approach his lotus feet. Later in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse that those lotus feet of the Lord are a boat to take us across this ocean of material existence. Actually, the verse says that all in the past, all the great sages and devotees have taken shelter of the boat, of the transcendental boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, and have crossed over this ocean of material existence. So then, they've already taken the boat to the other side. So what's going to happen to us? One can ask. If all the great devotees and great sages have taken that boat of the lotus feet of the Lord to the other side of the ocean of material existence, then what about us? What are we going to do here? But the verse goes on to explain that that transcendental boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, it is so wonderful. It never leaves this side. It's still here on this side. Because as soon as you approach the lotus feet of the Lord, then this whole ocean of material existence turns into a little puddle and you step across into the transcendental world. So that boat is still waiting on this side. It never leaves this side. It's not that because all the great sages and devotees have taken the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and taken that boat to the other side of the material existence that we're left here alone. The lotus feet of the Lord are still here for us to take shelter. And for those who take shelter at the lotus feet, anugrahaya bhaktanam, anurupatma darshanam, in whatever form that is dear to your heart, you take shelter of that, then the Lord takes away the agony. The agony of this material existence. So we can all take example of Lord Brahma. He's in great distress. So immediately he turned to the Lord, just like our Queen Kunti. She also prays that I want to see all of these miseries again and again. Every time I come anyway before the deities, I'm just praying, Krishna, please give me a break. You know? But Queen Kunti, she's praying, my dear Lord, I want to see all those miseries again and again, again and again. Because whenever we were in anxiety, whenever we were in distress, then we had no other place to turn except to you. I want to see all those miseries again and again because then we had nowhere else to turn except to you and we saw you again and again. And what is the benefit of seeing the Lord again and again? Then she says, and by seeing you again and again means that we won't see birth, death, disease, and old age again and again. So we just want to see that form of the Lord again and again. And we want to be forced to take shelter of that those lotus feet and cross over this great ocean of material existence and attain the spiritual world. So, is there any question or comment? Yes. Just whatever, somehow or other, we all have some relationship with the Lord, so gradually, as we become purified, we become attracted to a certain form. How can I give example? Anyway, Krishna consciousness is a natural process. There's nothing artificial. Just whatever form you attracted to, you'll become attracted to that form. Yes?
Thank you very much for giving class of short notice. Last Wednesday, I showed a video of you speaking at Brindacon. It's very nice to have you in person.
All right. Well, the most... Actually, we opened on the 14th of February. It just so happened that 15th and 16th was the Puspa Samadhi of Tamal. And when we were studying with our astrologer friend, the 14th came up. So we figured, all right, that's a good day. A lot of devotees will be in town. So we chose the 14th. But we had a three-day festival. So we started actually on the 12th. It was quite amazing. Because first thing we did was we had a procession called Kalash Yatra. Kalash means a water pot. So we got around 100 water pots with little coconuts on top of them. You put a little piece of cloth and you put a little coconut on top. And we have a procession starting from Pavan Sarovar, where we filled up the water pots, and then carrying those all around circumambling with kirtan. We were circumambling the whole village of Nandagram. We went up to take darshan of Krishna and Balaram and Nanda and Yasoda, and we came back down. So very amazing thing happened, because I was announcing, I was trying to, because all the Nandagram ladies, they were very anxious to see the Western ladies carrying water pots. So I was announcing every day that I want as many, we were providing free buses. I want as many ladies to come as possible. You can carry water pots on your head. When you get tired, the village ladies have agreed that they'll take your pot from your head and carry it for you. So, and all of a sudden, I suddenly got so many Matajis coming up to me. He said, Prabhu, this is the first time anybody ever invited Matajis to anything. They were all very, very happy. And some of them were lamenting because, you know, it was just sort of a spontaneous thing. We decided to have this Kalash Yatra. So this is the first time we're ever invited and I have some other engagement. I want to come. But thank you so much for inviting us, you know, welcoming us to come take part in some festival. So anyway, somehow or other, when the day came, we had 40 Western Matajis who had never carried a water pot on their head in their lives. And somehow or other, the village lady were showing off, because, you know, we got there, first we took breakfast, so while we were taking breakfast, all the village ladies were singing, so they were filling their water pots, and they were all there without any hands, dancing, you know, with their, you know, their water pots, you know, on their head, you know, and showing off for all our ladies. And I don't know if you know Mother Kalini. Mother Kalini was there. She said this whole procession changed her life. You know, it was just incredible experience for all the ladies. And so anyway, we all, after breakfast, we all went down to Pavan Sarovar. They filled up their water pots. We cheated. We didn't fill them all the way. And then we had, in fact, I got so many ladies, I almost didn't have a kirtan party. So somehow we got a kirtan party, and we went all around Nandagam. We went up to the temple carrying our water pots, then all the way down, and then through the village again, then out the little back road of the village, and across the road, down the Vrindakun road, out to Vrindakun. Then we filled them up all the way. We got to Vrindakun, then we filled them up all the way and put them near the stage where all the ceremonies were going to happen. But it was the most amazing experience for all these ladies. And then I saw that, because I was always wondering, because then so many times in India I've seen whenever there's some function, they always have the ladies do this procession. So then I understood, you know, this is how they feel part of, you know, the whole thing. And they feel very happy. It was an important part. In fact, one lady came up to me and said, this is the first time I felt happy to be a lady, because I was, you know, you guys couldn't do it. So it was a very amazing thing. I was planning that next year when we have our procession for Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, that we'll also have because I have all the little, there's a little round piece of cloth that's all wrapped up into a little round thing that you set on top of your head to carry the pot. So I have all these extra, whatever you call those things, I have a whole bunch of them extra. So I was thinking that next, for Prabhupada's disappearance day, we'll, you know, when we have our procession, we'll have all the ladies carrying water pots and
with coconuts on top and very, you know, then everyone will be very happy. So then, next day was, actually 13th was the last stage of the Delhi temple opening, so a lot of people went to that. But there we were doing different things. We put the Vrindadevi's deity, first we put it in grain, and then in Braj dust, we completely covered it with Braj dust, and then water, and so many things we did on 13th. And that all continued on the 14th, and we had this wonderful Abhishek. We had this beautiful stage that they had set up there. Somehow or other, all these arrangements came, and we had five busloads of devotees. That was from Vrindavan, and so many devotees came from Delhi. We paid everybody, we gave free transportation to come. We had this ecstatic Abhishek. And I wish I had pictures of that, but I was, you know, sort of, I wasn't planning on coming, so I just... video. I wish I had the video. Anyway, here's, after the Abhishek, then this is a beautiful picture of Vrindadevi on her new altar. And you can see the temple covered with flowers. Then we had a wonderful Brijbasi feast for all of the devotees. We had Kirtan. Ainder hardly goes anywhere outside of Vrindavan, but he came there, he sat up in front of the deities, and he did Kirtan all day long. We were doing the Abhishek, and then we were doing the dressing, and then we were doing the Yajna. And as soon as all of the most amazing thing was, as soon as all of the ceremonies, everything was completely finished, at that very moment, our pujaris, son got a son. Our Pujari's grandson was born right on that very minute Vrindadevi appeared. Now, that means he can't do the seva for 10 days, because we generally don't follow that, but because he's living in Dandagam and the Brahmins there will criticize. So for 10 days I got to do the seva of Vrindadevi because he couldn't do it. It was, as soon as everything was over, he needed a rest, he'd organize this whole thing. So then I was there in Vrindakun doing the seva of Vrindadevi for 10 days. And so many, your Ratnabhushan and Ishana, they came to visit us a couple of times. Huh? Oh, he's got a video, all right. So anyway, she's, you know, and since we're talking about little bags, I also have my little bag. We have special type of laddu that's made in Nandagam that only Brijbasis know how to make. So we can end class here and we'll distribute Mahaprasad to all the devotees from Vrindakun. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Has some video. I can maybe get a copy. Get him to make a copy for him.
Oh, we have them there, but I just maybe we can have one line for the ladies. No. There you go. Oh, wowee. Interesting. Mataji, what is your name?
Suruchi.
So you remember Shalavati, huh? She was in New York.
Yeah. I was just there. And she was also here.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. From?
From Los Angeles.
You're from LA, that's right. Hare Krishna. Oh, here's my friend. What is your name?
Manorika.
Manorika, all right.
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is from?
London.
All right, that's where it's from. You're good name? All right, yes. You're good name?